Now, if you would turn to the book of Joshua, we're going to begin a study in this book again. And it's been a long time, I think, since we've been through it, but it's really, there's a lot to be learned here about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Joshua was a servant, and we find that out real quick. God has made him into a leader because of that. He was willing to serve Moses and the children of Israel, of course, God first. And through that, God has used him and has encouraged him in the opportunity to go into the promised land. We'll see that. But the first section here that we're going to look at, we're going to see that strength and courage is really what's needed. And the strength and courage is not something that we work up or try to make ourselves have, but it's something we can have through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's allowing God to work in our lives and trusting Him so much that if He's asked us to do something, we know we can accomplish it and have the courage to do that. And so often, there are a lot of things in the way, and sometimes we get discouraged and we get defeated because of it. But we don't have to stay there if that happens. It's just turning back to God and trusting His Word and trusting what He's asked us to do and watch Him do a mighty work. Let's begin reading in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. We're just going to read down through verses 9. We'll get as far as we can. If I don't make it all the way through, that's fine. We'll pick it back up next week, but we're just going to continue all the way through the book. And as we look in the first verse, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the word of God tonight. And as we begin this study and start looking at this book that you've given to us to help us to understand, again, your will for our lives and what it takes to be successful as a Christian. And Father, I pray that you would continue to guide and direct in each one of our lives. I thank you for all those that are here tonight. And I just pray that you would give them a special anointing and encouragement through the week. That again, that they realize that you're the one who's going to sustain them. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So he talks about standing strong. And that's important. It's important, first off, to know that as these folks are heading to the promised land, it is not a type of heaven. The promised land is not a type of heaven. It's actually a place of testing. That's what the promised land is to the Israelites, a place of testing. Because they're going to go over there and they're going to be tested. And just like we are today here, the promised land is in heaven or the millennial reign. That's when the promised land is going to be given to us, but not yet. And these folks are heading to the place of testing. And so that's why God tells them, and he's talking to Joshua specifically, he's talking to them to be strong and to stand for what's right. And when you think about that word strong, Webster Dictionary defines it as physically powerful, having great muscular strength. It's the way God has given us the power to do the things He's called us to do, is the strength that we have. It talks about having a healthy and sound condition, if you will. When we are weak, God can use us as well and make us strong. Maybe not sometimes the physical part, but definitely the spiritual part. And that's important too. And I think that's when He says be strong, He's not just talking about the physical aspect, but He's talking about the spiritual aspect. And for us to be strong is to rely on the one who is strong, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody used to say that character is what a man or a woman is in the dark. When there's no one looking, no one listening, it's the thought, the desire, the intention that counts in the sight of God. There's where our character resides, is in the sight of God. I once heard Tom Landry, he was a coach of the Dallas Cowboys years ago. He was a Christian. He got saved in 1958. But he was talking about whenever he got a ball player, their character was already established. They had already had that because it comes at an earlier age than when you're an adult. Now, God can change you and make you, and that's what's so wonderful about it. You can be changed through the Spirit of God and become something different than you are. But your character development begins at an early age. And that's important. So we see that in Joshua's life. Joshua was a man that ministered, the Bible says, to Moses. It says in verse 1, Moses' minister. So in Exodus chapter 17, it's the first time we see him come in to play. And he's up there on the mount with Moses. Of course, he sees what happens when they come down and all that takes place. And so we see that Joshua is someone that is following God, and he's following God's man, which happens to be Moses in this case. And it's through that that God begins developing the character that this man Joshua is going to have to be able to take care of and to do those things which God calls him to do. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 34. It just should be a couple pages back. One thing is interesting, in 34, I think it's verse 5. Let me see here. Verse 9, I think. And on down, maybe. Let's look here, see. It says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit and of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So right here we see something special about Joshua, that when Moses left the scene or died, God had told Moses that he wanted Joshua to lead the children. And here's a man, and why did God make him a leader? First off, because he was a servant, and it took me a long time to learn that God is not looking for leaders. Those people who think they're leaders, that's not the people God is looking for. He's looking for servants. Why? Because those are the ones who are humble and can follow God. And if they can demonstrate that, then God will take them and make them into leaders. That's what He's doing with David, or did with David. That's what He's doing now as we read this in with Joshua. And what happens is Joshua has, because of his willingness to serve God and follow Moses' leadership, he's a man, the Bible says, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. And that's what God requires in His leaders, is someone who's full of Spirit and wisdom. Not someone who's got an IQ of 150 or whatever the number is. That's not what He's looking for. He's looking for someone who's willing to serve and understand that God is where wisdom begins. In fact, Proverbs 9:10 tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. That's what we want, to have understanding. Joshua was a man that could do this. And why did God choose him? Because He knew that He needed someone that would be strong, someone filled with the Spirit, because He was going to lead a stiff-necked people. I mean, they demonstrated time and time again with Moses that, yeah, we'll follow you, we'll do whatever the Lord says, and then get down the road just a little ways, and they forget what they promised. And they go do the opposite. And they would complain and murmur and all those things. So He wanted a man that could be strong. And again, physical strength is part of it, but the most important thing is the spiritual strength. And that's what we need. We need spiritual strength. What will spiritual strength do for us? It'll carry us through when everybody else is doing what they shouldn't do and we don't do it. We see it and realize it. I don't have to do what they do. In fact, God tells me not to. It gives us the strength to stand against peer pressure, against the world and the world's devices. I don't know about you, but we all have friends and people we know that would mislead us if we followed them. Their influence is not godly. And that's what spiritual strength does for us. It helps us to not go that path or go that way. We've all done it at one time or another because we're not always spiritually strong. But when we grow up and learn that we can trust God in every area, then we can become spiritually strong and be able to accomplish those things which God has called us to do. And it's important. It's important for us to understand that and be consistent in it. And consistency is the key in everything, right? That's the problem with all of us, is that we struggle with the consistency. You know, I don't know about you, but there are many times that I have to come back and ask God to forgive me for something. I repent of it and say, I'm going to turn from this. I'll never do it again. And somewhere down the road, I turn around and fail in that same area. And it takes a while, but eventually if we say, okay, Lord, and then not only say, okay, Lord, but then start developing the strength through the Word of God, finding Bible verses that will help us in that time when we might fail, and be able to quote those or go to those and just seek the Lord in those. That's what's going to help us. You see, if we're just going to do it on our own and we're sincere about it, please, Lord, forgive me, I don't want to ever do this again. But we don't go to the Word of God and find out the things that'll help us. It's like we're walking out there and the devil's shooting his arrows and we have no shield, no protection, nothing. But that's what the Word of God will do. It'll shield us. Those verses will come to our mind as we're having a problem. Like, for instance, if you struggle with looking at women or something, some of you guys, well, it tells us in the Bible that if we look upon a woman and desire her, we've lusted in our heart, we've sinned. And so you learn that verse or you learn that principle. And so whenever you see something, you say, Lord, help me not to look. You know, you make a covenant with your eyes. And you can do that with everything. And that's how we're going to have strong, or be strong, how we're going to have strong, how we're going to be strong. And so God, He's using those that are not just available, but those that are available and that are ready, are prepared. And preparation comes from serving God throughout your life. You know, that's just like a child preparing for college. They spend 12 years in high school and learning these things, and so hopefully they're prepared for the next step. And you don't send, or I've never seen any first graders go to college yet. Now, I've seen some younger kids go to college, but not quite that young yet. But the point is that we need to be prepared for what God wants us to do. And, of course, Joshua, he was prepared. Can anybody remember a time that God prepared Joshua? Think back in Numbers chapter 12. Remember what took place back then? I got it in my notes, so it's easy. Of course, I looked it up ahead of time. Actually, it's 12, 13, 14, I guess, is all of it. But 13, 14, probably the brunt of it. But do you remember what happened? No, that's in Joshua. But before that, in Numbers, that's right. He took one man from each tribe and told them to go to the land and spy it out. They did. And they went over there. They were amazed because there was so much over there. What was it? The honey and the... say that again, please. Grapes, yeah. And those were big. And they saw that. And they saw the fruit. They saw the land. And, man, it was great. But they also saw the giants. Now, do you think God knew the giants were over there? I think so. Absolutely. So what was this for these men? What was this? A test. It was a test to go over there and show them how great the land was. Milk and honey, that's what I was listening to. getting slipping. But anyway, he was testing them and showing them how great the land was, but he also knew there were giants there, and he wanted to show them too. He wanted them to see them. There's nothing hid from them. There was great walled cities. They saw those. And yet God told them, go, conquer the land. He said, I will be with you. And why is it that we, instead of trusting God, he said he's going to be with us, we don't believe him. 10 of those men did not believe him. 2 of them did. And Joshua happened to be one of them, and Caleb the other. And they said, they stood up in front of all 10 men. They could have cowered down. They could have listened to what those other 10 guys said. And they said, well, you know, right, Caleb, they're right. There are giants in the land. They're pretty big. I don't think we can handle this. But because Joshua, God was using him and preparing him for something, he knew that God was greater than any giant. Any giant you face, God is greater than. And so what did he do? Joshua stood up and told him, come on, let's go get it. God said we can have it. He's going to go before us. We can do this. And Caleb said, yes, we can do this. And the other 10, because they were the majority, they got the other people on their side and basically said, we're not going. And of course, the penalty was 40 years in the wilderness, and none of those other 10 guys ever saw the promised land. They never went to the land of Canaan. Only Joshua and Nun, Joshua and Caleb, Joshua the son of Nun. And because all the people that were under, 20, I think it was, died and didn't get to go. So that's God preparing a person to be in a position of leadership. God is preparing you. He's wanting you to stand up and take stands for things that are right. In your workplace, in your neighborhood, wherever you go, he wants to use you. And he's testing us today to see, will we do the little things? Because if we won't do the little things, he's not going to give us anything big to do. You know, it's amazing to me, the missionaries that I've seen. I've seen missionaries, some come and some come, or some go and some come back. But those that stay and seem to last are those that are already preparing. They're doing the things here before they ever go there. They're willing to do what God tells them to do. They're willing to say, well, maybe some people look at sacrifice. Sacrifice their Saturdays and go on visitation if that's when the church does, or whatever it is, or any other night. They're willing to do that. And those people are the ones who go and stay. I know some people who aren't willing and haven't. We had a missionary stay at my house. He was bitter. I mean, we knew it right away. He started telling us about all these things and how bitter he was about this and that and the other. And anyway, he went to Costa Rica. I don't think he stayed there 4 years when he came back off the field. He was not prepared to go do it. I think he was looking for something that was going to be easy and maybe a nice life. Costa Rica is a pretty nice place, unless you're in the middle of these hurricanes, which is not such a nice place. But then, but so there are times when God wants to do something in our lives, and he wants to use us, and he'll bring something into our lives, and all he wants us to do is trust him for that. Because there's nothing too big, there's nothing that's too great or too many or any of that thing that God can't take care of. And he will do it. So God is teaching us, and he's trying to remind Joshua now as he's going into this position. Here in verse 2 it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Wouldn't you like God to say to somebody at some time, Bruce, my servant, or John, my servant? That's God saying that. Aren't those words you would like to be known by? Those are words I'd like to be known by. But Moses is dead. And he says, now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now again, Joshua being prepared. Remember, Joshua has seen what the children of Israel have done. He was with them when they were in the captivity. He was with them in the wilderness. Now he's about 80 years old as he comes to this point in his life. And he's getting ready to make a journey with people that don't always listen. And God tells him, only be thou strong in verse 7 and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He says, stay focused, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's what I want you to know tonight, is stay focused. Because if you stay focused, God will use you. He will build you up. I'll tell you what, it's one thing to go try to work out and get yourself in strength that you want to be or whatever, but you can't do it on your own even. You need God to help you in even that. You say, well, I don't need God. I'll tell you, I do. I think about going to my physical therapist, and I'm thinking, I don't want to go. I've already told her that this is the place I come, and I love to hate. You know, I said, I love this, but I hate it. I mean, I love the results. I hate the process. Greg's talking about processes. We don't like the process. We want the results. But you don't get the results without the process. That's the same thing with the Christian walk. After you're saved and you're walking with God, you don't get the rewards or the benefits until you go through the process. Joshua had to do it. David had to do it. Every single person. Paul had to do it. We have to do it. And if we're not willing to go through the process, we're going to miss out on being prosperous. Verse 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. See, that's that point I was making. When you are tempted or tested, if you and I spend time in the Word of God and meditate on it, I'm amazed. Last week, every time Gerald Filler comes, I'm amazed. I mean, I know I look at it from the practical aspect of it, but I also look at it from a different one. But practically, I say, well, he's an evangelist. He's going to go to the next church and preach the same four messages. So he's got this down pat. You know, evangelists, they only need seven messages or something, whatever it is. I don't know. But this man has studied over the years. And I don't know about you. I didn't count them. Maybe I should have. But, I mean, 30, 40 verses. You know, he just spouts them off. He takes a subject like affliction, the first Sunday school, and just spouted off verses on and on. Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs. He knows, though, because he meditates on those. So if he comes across the situation, I was talking to him at the table, and we were talking about a subject, and all of a sudden he started throwing out verses at me, you know, left and right. He said, yeah, this. I mean, it's just amazing to me. Now, I know some verses. I don't know half as many as he knows. And he really convicts me and challenges me. And that's something I want to know, too, because I need to be prepared. Be prepared for what the devil, the world, and my own desires will want me to do. I need to be able to combat that. And to do that is to meditate in the Word of God. And, you know, he goes as far as telling him to do it day and night. Now, that doesn't mean he's sitting at the pew going, or any of that. He's thinking on these verses always, like Brother Fielder said. And I practiced this years ago. I haven't done it in a long time, but it's getting those 3x5 cards, putting them in your pocket. And when you got a minute, you go through five verses. And you just do that for a period of time. And before you know it, you got them. And it's amazing how it works. You think, well, I don't have time. Everybody has a little bit of time. You think not. And you think, well, we just want to. Sometimes you need to be still. There's no doubt about that. And you don't need to think about things. But we don't want to always be that way, do we? We want to be fresh and be ready. Ready to give a hope of the reason that's in us. How do we do that? Well, let me go home and get my Bible. I don't have it with me, and I'm not sure what to say. So, no, you study, meditate, and know. He goes on and he says that you can do this because if you study it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. How do we get rid of the devil? How do you get rid of the devil? If the devil's attacking you, what do you do to get rid of him? James tells us. Ignore him. Don't just ignore him. Huh? Okay. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And how do you do that? Draw nigh to God. Do what? Okay. I don't know. I got to resist. I got to push a little bit back on him. I don't know if I can ignore him. But anyway, resist him. And part of that drawing nigh to God is knowing the verses. How do you resist the devil? By drawing nigh to God. How do you draw nigh to God? By quoting the scripture. It's kind of a circle thing, you know. You want to complete the whole circle. The devil's attacking. How do I thwart his attack? I tell him to get thee hence, Satan. Sure. But then I give him some Bible verses. He knows those verses. And they're powerful. They'll make him run. He left when Jesus quoted Scripture. He'll leave when you quote Scripture. He'll do it. The last verse there, 9, says, have not I commanded thee? Again, this is interesting. He reminds him 3 times in these 9 verses. He tells him to be strong. Verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. He says, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And that's a fact. You see, the problem we think about sometimes is that we get in positions in our life, and I'll be honest with you, I've been there, and I know you, if you were honest, you'd say the same thing, that we wonder, why isn't God doing something? Why isn't God changing this? Why isn't he showing himself to me in a mighty way and just taking this situation away or whatever? There are a lot of reasons for that, but sometimes the reason is because he promises never to leave and forsake us. And we promise that in a sense when we get saved. We say we're going to follow Jesus the rest of our lives. But you know what? We still have a struggle and we have the tendency to leave and forsake him. And when we leave and forsake him, we can't hear him anymore. Think about it. And this is best. We can use computers. You can use cell phones. You can use the old telephone's better, because what we do, in essence, when we leave, we take our scissors or our knife and we cut the line of communication. We say, God, I'm going to go handle this on my own. Don't bother me. That's what we do. And he's trying to get our attention. He's not left and he's not forsaken you. In fact, when you cut that communication line, he's still got one open. And you may not be able to hear it, but he might be pounding on you in ways you don't know. And he gets your attention because he wants you to come back to him. And he wants to bless you. You know, if someone offered you $1 million, I think most of us would probably take it. Now, I don't know all the details behind that. I'm just saying, someone, no strings attached, for whatever reason, they just came and offered you $1 million. We'd probably take that. So how many of us would say, no, I don't want that. Don't give me that. No strings attached. I don't have to do anything for it. Don't have to play the lottery. Don't have to gamble. Nothing. And you're going to give me $1 million? Nope, don't want it. Don't give me that. Now, some people might do that, maybe. But in this example, which is not the best one, it's almost like that's what we're doing to God. He says, I want to bless you. I want to open the windows of heaven and give you more than you can handle. But we say, nope, God. I don't want that. Just don't even bother. I don't want that. Sell it to Mexico. Send it to Mexico? Yeah, or somewhere. But the point is that God wants to bless us. And that's what he's telling Joshua right here. He says, Joshua, I'm going to bless you and the children of Israel. Just don't leave me. Be strong spiritually. Have the courage to do it. And you know, courage is that thing that we need even when we see the situation. When it's difficult and you're willing to continue on that path. And God will give you that strength and courage to do that if we'll accept it and trust that he will. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you for Joshua's life. Thank you for a man who understood what it was to serve you. As a minister to Moses, a minister to you, and as you prepared him for this task that you have given to him, and it's a big task. Humanly speaking, it's an impossible task. But you told him that you'd go before him. You'd fight the battles. All he had to do was trust you and be obedient to you. Help each one of us to understand that as well. We all suffer as we go through battles and storms and trials. Help us to look to you first, though, realizing that you know all about it. And we're to be strong spiritually, have the courage to stand and trust you no matter what. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.